When you wake up on Monday or any given morning, you're thinking, Lord, am I going to make it? And I want you to know, the Bible says a lot more than just making it through. It says we have the fullness of Christ in us. Fullness today. I want you to know, Dusty and Audrey and Megan and Logan are all up in Athens celebrating their oldest son Brandon's big 30th birthday. And some of you may have not met Brandon before. But that's where they are this morning, because some of you are probably kind of wondering, where's Dusty? Where's Dusty? Okay. We are glad to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. I would encourage you, what Terry shared about Grayson Stadium. Again, I don't want you to understand this morning that God is not complicated. This Grayson Stadium prayer time today, as Terry goes by, you know, you can simply drive by there and just simply say, God, I declare the blessings of God in this place. That I'm asking God to come and protect the workers that will be there next Saturday and Sunday. You know, the forces of evil will not take a day off next week just because we happen to be going over there. Okay? Wouldn't it be nice if the forces of evil took a day off in our lives sometimes? Okay? The battle is real, but I just want to encourage you that you might drive by there this morning or this afternoon or during the week. You might get out and walk around. Now, like Terry said, they have a ball game there this morning, this afternoon. It's going on right now, actually. So you can walk in there. But during the week, you might want to drive by and just pronounce a blessing over that place. God, I declare this is your house come Saturday and Sunday of next week. Your people are coming to share the good news of Christ. Doesn't have to be hard. Doesn't have to be complicated. It can be very, very simple. So as God puts it on your heart, okay? Let me pray for us. Father, I just want to tell you we love you today. God, we are very, very blessed people. God, I think this morning about the freedom that we enjoy. Lord, it's already been said thank you before this morning, but I want to thank you again for the freedom we enjoy. We get to come into this house of worship free of charge. And Lord, we bless you for that today. While we're here, and it will be a brief time, Father, I'm asking your protection over us. Father, guard our hearts and our minds very closely. You know, God, I pray while we're here that the Spirit of God can be attracting those who are near this building. In this city, to you, Father, as your body has gathered, the Lord has gathered to glorify and honor you. We bless you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you guys know we've been on a little series about spinning our wheels. That's been the title of our series recently about why do we keep spinning our wheels? Kind of like, why are we going anywhere? Well, this morning, as we go into that, we're talking about grace, and that grace is not cheap. That as believers, we don't want to cheapen grace. And I think a lot of us do wake up on Monday morning or any given morning, and we honestly, in some form or another, we ask ourselves this question. Is there going to ever be anything in my life that changes? Is there ever going to be anything in my life that's different than it has been for the past weeks and months and years? That often we wake up in the daytime or during the morning and throughout the day, and we ask ourselves, God, is there more than what's going on in my life right now? God, there has to be more. But at the same time, we often, I believe, wake up or go through the day, we're kind of overwhelmed. In fact, maybe oftentimes we're kind of confused. God, I know there has to be more because the preacher tells me that, the believers that I'm in contact with tells me that, and your word tells me that. But God, I just have a little bit of trouble getting the more. But yet we do the same thing over and over and over and expect different results. You know what that is, don't you? Insanity. That's insanity. In fact, I read how they test insanity years ago. All right? Do you know how they tested insanity? This is a true story. This is serious. This isn't one of Dusty's airplane jokes, okay? This is serious. All right? This they really did. All right? They had a room with nothing but a sink in it. And if there was a person that were kind of wondering their sanity, they would simply go into that room, take the person in question with them. They would put a stopper in the sink and turn the water on. And then they would hand the person a mop. And they would simply go out and lock and close the door. Okay? As the sink filled up with water and began to spill onto the floor, that person had an option. They could turn off the water, pull the stopper out of the sink, or begin to mop. If they walked back into the room and the water was spilling over the sink and they were mopping like crazy, but they weren't unstopping the sink and they kept the water on, they determined that person is not sane because they were mopping like crazy when all they had to do was turn off the water or pull the stopper out of the sink. Don't you wish some days it was that simple? But ask yourselves honestly this morning, have you been mopping like crazy? And everywhere you look, water, water everywhere. And you're wondering, what can be different? Well, this morning, we're going to talk about a very specific component of that, I believe. And that is this, that grace is not cheap in our lives. But we have a choice. Do we cheapen that grace or do we value it the way God values it and what it does in our life when we choose to value it? About 2001, most of us probably lived in Savannah. Do you remember when they found, city worker found the baby in the dumpster behind Backus Cadillac? They named her Baby Grace. She's alive and doing well, by the way, in North Georgia. But I don't know about you guys, but when I read and heard about that story, that someone would take a human life and not only discard it, but literally threw it in the trash. Doesn't that appall you? I mean, didn't that sicken your stomach when you heard about it, when you read about it, when it first happened? You probably had a thought like this, who would do such a thing? I believe God would say to us today, brothers and sisters, who would take my grace and throw it in the dumpster? Who would do such a thing? Baby Grace had value. She was a life that was a gift. And someone said, I don't want the inconvenience. But God, in His grace, saved that young baby's life. Today, we don't want to cheapen grace. We want to allow it to change our lives. But I'm going to keep it very simple for us today. We're going to have the is and the is not category. The first category is, what grace is not in my life? We want to look at a list of a few things. We're going to move through it kind of quickly today. What grace is not in my life? The first one is simply this. Grace is not a license to sin. I'll quote you, Rick, because that way I won't get in trouble. Okay, so I'm quoting one of Rick's devotionals from Thursday because I was thinking the same thing when I woke up and then I read Rick's devotional. He said it's not our get out of hell card. That's not what grace is. It's not a license to sin. I'm in, so it doesn't matter after that. That is a lie. That is a lie. It is not a license to sin. Next one, John. It's not having fire insurance. Well, I'm saved out of hell, so now I'll go do what I want to and live like I want to. That is not what God's grace in our life is meant to show itself for. It is not having fire insurance. Next one, John. Now, I want this one to stick in your mind because I know some of you, you're thinking, well, then what is grace? I'm going to tell you a little bit later. We're going to come back to that one. It's not saying I'm sorry. I want you to know that I'm about tired of me and the rest of our culture thinking I'm sorry gets rid of all the wrongs. I'm sorry that I gossiped about you. I'm sorry I didn't read God's Word. I'm sorry that I didn't pray for you. I'm sorry that I cheated on my spouse. Guys, that's not God's grace. There's a difference, and we're going to talk about it. I want you to ponder on that one for a little bit. But it's not saying I'm sorry. Don't believe today just because you say I'm sorry to someone that everything's hunky-dory again. It's not like you take the Ectosketch and you shake it and you get to start all over just because you're willing to say, I'm sorry. Next one, John. Living without accountability. All these kind of fold into one, but I wanted to break it down for us so we could think about it a little bit this morning. Having God's grace in my life is not living my life without accountability. It's not living your life or me living my life without saying, I don't need anyone to hold me accountable. That I know the standard I'm supposed to live to. Because I want you to know something. Every one of us left to our own devices has pretty low standards. Okay? That's just simply the truth. Okay? We do not come up very high on our own, usually with standards. Living without accountability is not God's grace. And the next one? Living life without consequences. Having God's grace in my life is not living your life without consequences. That when we cruise through life and we're kind of like bumping into one another and we're doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing, And then we're moving to the next thing. We're leaving consequences in our wake. And I want you to know that we live in a country that often says we can buy our way out of consequences. That we live our lives as if we haven't hurt anybody when we're doing our own thing, when we're doing those things in the top part of the list. But living life without consequences is not living in the grace of God. Okay? I want you to understand that those are just a few of the things this morning, that having God's grace in my life is not about that list. And I want us to be really very plain and honest with one another this morning. That God's grace, no matter how descriptive I will be this morning, or no matter how descriptive that any of you might be about God's grace, it is more than we can fathom. It is greater than we can possibly ever imagine. It is something that we only can walk in and accept by faith and truth today, okay? So if that's not having God's grace in my life, then what? Then what is grace? And how does it change my life? Well, John, what is grace and how does it change my life? Look what John said. It says, out of the fullness of His grace, He has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. Now, be honest with yourself. Does that describe your life today? Do you feel like that the blessing fountain is overflowing in your life? Be honest with yourself this morning, because that is a statement made by John about what God has done through Jesus Christ. Out of the fullness of His grace, He has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. Do you see something? God's grace in blessing us is part of His nature. He desires to lavish it, to pour it upon us. It's part of who He is. So today, a good thing for us to think about is if you don't feel the way God is blessing you, then first of all, don't let feelings dictate, because that's a truthful statement. God is blessing you. Begin to look for them, to ask God to show you, where are these blessings at in my life? You know, the blessing in your life that God could be pouring into you may be that aggravating coworker. You ever think about it? It could be that neighbor that if when you see the for sale sign in their yard, you're shouting hallelujah. But that could be the blessing that they're living there, not that they're going to move. The blessings of God are dictated from Him, not us. Out of the fullness of His grace, He has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. Ask God to open your eyes. I sincerely believe this, and I'll put myself at the head of the line. Okay, I'm not talking to you, I'm just talking to me, and I'm thinking out loud. The reason why we have trouble with that is because we're so spoiled that we have trouble with that. Where are these blessings at, Dane? Well, God, give us an attitude of gratitude. Help us to be thankful for all the many things in our life, because out of Your fullness, You are blessing us. Next point, John. God's definition of grace. Now, I know most of you thought God's riches at Christ's expense, and that's true. But I wanted you to see this definition, because I think it's interesting. His favor, God's, at Christ's expense to provide what you need, not what you want. The freely given, unmerited favor and love of God to transform you more and more into the likeness of Christ. Think about that. Think about that for a second. Why is God's favor upon you working in grace? It's working our lives to be more and more like Jesus. So we will look different than the world. So we will think different than the world. That we will act and speak differently than the world. But it's His favor at Christ's expense to provide what you need, not what you want. God does not bless us out of His fullness for our convenience, but for His glory and for His honor. And I want you to know, me at the head of the line again, that's sometimes very hard for us to get straight. Because church, in America, the American church has confused the American dream with the Great Commission. And I want you to know, we're going to have to give an account for that one day. That we believe that the way we fulfill the Great Commission is to search for the American dream. And that's not what God's saying. God is saying, you go after the lost. You seek me. God's favor is upon us to do His will for His kingdom, not for our convenience, not for our expedience, but when it's all said and done, do you want to be the fulfillment of Christ in you? Or do you want to wake up again the next morning and say, there's got to be more. There's the more. His unmerited favor in your life. And most of you probably would have some great stories how you've actually seen that take place, because it is freely given and we've all witnessed it in our lives numerous of times. But how does it change our life? Well, let's look at this, John. Let's look at it in the context of community. I want you to realize today that it's not just an individual deal. It's we're all in it together. So let's read it together. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Not one of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all were owners of land or houses, would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, a Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow. That's a pretty awesome passage. Let's dispel one lie real quick today. Let's dispel the lie that can't happen right now in the year 2009. We're all in this together. We really are in this together. And God's grace is poured out upon His community of believers. Doesn't mean they never had some disputes, that it was all one big party along the way. But God's grace upon them changed them. It was real to them. It was important to them. But how does it change our lives? Let's look at some practical things from that passage. First of all, grace is humility. He who has no use for conceited people, but shows favor to those who are humble. Are you willing to put others above yourself? A willingness to put others above yourself. I just read recently, I like it when I can tell a story by another preacher instead of one of me or Rick or Dusty. I just read a true story by Jim Cimbala. Jim Cimbala is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. You know the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? This is their senior pastor told this story on himself. But I have to tell you, there's probably, I could insert me in this in ways too. He said one Sunday, this is a large congregation. If you don't know anything, it sits in Brooklyn, New York. It's got thousands of people. And a lot of people who come to their congregation, they're homeless, they're destitute. They minister to a lot of those kind of people, okay? Jim says after one service, they were finished and everything. He said he had gone, he sat on the stage. And he had his feet over the edge, and I can't put my feet over the edge because ours is too short or I'm too tall. And he said he was just kind of kicking his feet back and forth. He was kind of gloating in the greatness of the service. He said, oh, it was a fantastic message. He had given the message. He said the music was great. And he was sitting there afterwards, and they kind of like we use life group leaders, they use counselors. He said the counselors were ministering to people all around. And he said he was just sitting there enjoying the moment. Man, what a service. And then he looks up, and he looks down the aisle, and here he comes. A man named David came walking towards him. He could tell by his appearance that not only was he homeless, that he had been homeless for quite some time. Long hair, very, very shaggy looking. Didn't even have to get close to him. The smell beat David to Jim. And Jim's thinking to himself, great. What a great way to end a great service. Here I had all these good things going, and here he comes. So he starts to approach him. Jim Cimbala says that when he finally gets close to him, that he reeks so bad that he cannot inhale when he goes to breathe. He has to turn away to inhale and then exhale as he's trying to talk to David. And Jim Cimbala says that he always keeps some money in his back pocket. And he says he goes to reach for his back pocket because basically, now Jim didn't say this, but since I'm guilty of this at times too, I know what he's implying. He was going to get rid of the problem quickly. So Jim reached in his back pocket, and about time he pulls out his money, David looks at him and says, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus that you were talking about. Jim says, right then and right there, he begins to weep because God's grace had convicted Jim about what he was really there for. And he says that from that moment, David comes a little closer and they embrace. And the funny part of the story is they both start to weep, and I'm thinking, David doesn't know why Jim is weeping. That God used David to show Jim really where his heart was. Whose kingdom was Jim building that day? And he says to go on and say, when he embraced David, that aroma that he couldn't stand in hell became the aroma of Christ to him. That he started to see it the way Jesus saw it. And Jesus sees it through humility. A willingness to put somebody else above yourself. That your agenda isn't the most important one on this side of heaven or on the other side either. Grace is humility. Next one. Remember I said, you're sorry? Grace is the asking for forgiveness with repentance. That is a big difference than saying, I'm sorry. That is saying to someone or someone's, I messed it up, even if it's to God, I messed it up. I come into agreement that I was wrong, and I ask for your forgiveness, and I'm choosing to not go that path anymore, but I'm going to turn around and walk the other way. That I'm not going to continue to gossip about so-and-so, that I ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to change my tongue to be a tongue of blessings. That is, I'm asking for forgiveness, God, of my thought life, that I need forgiveness, and I repent of it. I'm asking you to change my mind to where I walk towards you. God, I'm asking for forgiveness that I don't think your word is worth taking the time to read. I ask for your forgiveness because your word is truth. I'm repenting of that. Change who I am so that you're the most important thing in my life. God, I ask for forgiveness that I don't think others are beneath me. That I think of others as beneath me. God, I ask for forgiveness of that. And sometimes, and here's the hard part for us, isn't it? When we have to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness. And ask, will you forgive me? My heart needs changing. There's a difference between saying, I'm sorry, and saying, I have messed it up. Will you forgive me? And I repent. I change who I am. I will no longer do that. I will be something different. Some of you, that might be the first time that you've ever seen that under the grace category. Or maybe that's the first time you've seen grace is asking for forgiveness. But do you see something in there? Grace is asking for forgiveness with repentance because it changes who I am. Grace transforms our lives on an ongoing basis. But that is one way of seeing it practically every single day or every time we're holding unforgiveness against somebody. And the next one, grace is communion with confession. Why did I put that one in there? Because I'm greatly concerned that our church and our country has lost the awe and reverence for coming to God's holy communion table. That it is a holy act. And when you come into the presence of a holy God, sin and holiness do not go together. And then when we come into the presence of God, when we come, and we're not doing it today, but when you break the bread and drink the wine, that it's a confession that says, Jesus, I need you. You're the only thing I can go to. You died in my place. God, you're holy, and I am not. And the only way I can come into that, God, is through your grace. If you're willing to bestow your favor on me, God, it's the only way it's going to work. Today, what's your attitude towards communion? Today, how do you see that? Is it just a symbolic act? Because I want to get you to think about something today. How close do you feel to God today? How really close do you feel to Him today? Now, you know, you're giving it lip service, I feel close. But the truth is you feel about as close as you do to the sun, S-O-S-U-N, not S-O-N. I mean, is it about that distant to you? The moon was real big earlier this week. I mean, that sucker was giant, okay? It's scary. It was coming through the trees. I thought for sure, Area 51. I did. I saw it at first. I was like, man, that is one big moon. Something's coming, okay? I'm just being honest with you. I didn't see Bigfoot. Although there were a couple times, but that was another story, okay? All right. It involves Kathy, and I don't want to go there. Where is she? She's in here. I know she is. Where are you, hon? Oh, she must have left. She knows I'm going to talk about her. So, grace is communion with confession, confessing a complete need upon God. Next one, John. Grace is oneness with the body of Christ and God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. God's favor upon us, realizing that we have a need for one another and a need for them, that the Holy Spirit resides in us and it's given us gifts to be used for His kingdom, that we need one another. How do we live in accountability? Not just by the Spirit of God, but through the body of the Christ, of the Christ. That there's a oneness there, that God's grace is upon us to see that oneness. It's God blessing us in the body, through the body, with the body. When you leave here this afternoon, or Thursday afternoon, whatever, just arbitrarily pick a time. Do you ever think about one another and say, wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. Do you wake up on Sunday morning going, I get to go be with the body of Christ? Do you ever flip on the back of your bulletins and go, wow, look at the body of Christ. It's meeting all over the place. You know, next Saturday and Sunday, we call that baseball camp, but you know, it's really just the body of Christ. Playing a little baseball with some young kids. Okay? That's really all it is. It's just the body being somewhere else together. Jay and Danny and I, we're the body of Christ at Waffle House in Georgetown every Wednesday morning. Danny's a big eater. Big eater. Okay? Big. All right? If you take him to eat, bring extra money. Or call Jim Cimbala. I don't know which one. But see, we're the body of Christ. And it's interdependent, not independent. And I think that's a hard concept for us because Dusty constantly reminds us we are not loan contractors. This week, when you move, think about the fact that you could be creating a spiritual ripple in somebody else's life. You might be the person that's the only person praying for that person right now. You might be the only person God's asking to pick up the phone and call. You might be the only person that's supposed to send an email. That you might be the person that God has chosen to use through His unmerited favor to touch somebody else. Grace is oneness. One body. One body. And lastly on this section, is grace is costly. Now, it's bestowed upon us freely. But doesn't everything that's free cost us in one way or another? It cost for us to have grace, didn't it? This grace costs somebody a whole bunch that you and I enjoy every single day. This unmerited favor, it cost Jesus His very life. I want you to see those images. Tomorrow, this afternoon, later on in the week, don't take lightly God's grace. It is not to be flippant about. It hurt. It hurt Him bad. God does something out of His love, and He did that out of His love for us. Do you think that Acts passage could have been lived out other than through the grace of God? Do you see how cheap grace wouldn't have worked in that passage? Do you say, hey, if they hadn't taken accountability, if they'd taken accountability lightly, or if they hadn't been willing to forgive one another, or if they hadn't been one in the body of Christ, do you see how that Acts passage just wouldn't work? What if it had been all about them and just them? What if they'd have said, so-and-so wasn't good enough for me to go sell my land and help them? Or so-and-so wasn't good enough for me to be a listening ear to? What if they'd have turned to their spouse and say, why should I forgive him or her? Look what they've been saying about me. how quickly the Spirit would have reminded them, who made you Lord over all this? Cheap grace affects all of our relationships. We don't want to cheapen grace. So how does it change my life? First thing you have to do is acknowledge it's not about you. It's not about you, but it is God is working in you to help you want to do and be able to do what pleases Him. So today, who are you here to please? Thank you, Daniel, my lovely assistant. But is that how your heart responds? God is working in you to help you want to do and be able to do what pleases Him. Listen, if you know God's working in your life to do something very specific today, and you're scratching your head going, God, I just don't see how that's going to work, or God, why didn't you choose somebody else, or God, not right now, I'm trying to do this over here, I'll get back to you around later, then listen, the sink is full, the stopper's in the sink, and you're mopping like crazy, I guarantee it. That if you're fighting God on what He is trying to do in your life, and He is ready to lavish that grace upon you, that love, then the fountain is full, and it's running over, and you may have one of those mops that Cinderella has with only one little string on it, and you might be trying to mop crazy. But honestly, how many of you are tired and weary? How many of you are tired of trying it all on your own? And God's saying, I'm working in you to help you want to do and be able to do what pleases Him. And secondly, Galatians 2:20 and 21 says this, I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And why does He live? I live my life in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm not one of those who treats the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. If you could save yourself, then you didn't need Jesus. But we know that's not true. We can't do it on our own. We can't mop fast enough. We can't do it on our own, guys. I believe today one of the most powerful witnesses to the world around us as Christians that are willing to die to themselves and love Him who gave Himself for us. I love the way Paul says that in this translation. I'm not one of those who treats the grace of God as meaningless. He's saying, I'm not going to cheapen grace because it's lavished on me out of who God is for His glory. And I want you to know today, Paul was not concerned about what God was asking him to do because he knew the fullness of the grace of God would supply what he needed to do. He knew that it would supply the strength, the power to overcome fears, inadequacies, doubts, worries, anxiety. Paul trusted Him completely. But maybe more pointedly than that is this. Paul surrendered. He surrendered to God. Have you surrendered to Him today? I'm not just talking about as Jesus Lord of your life. I'm talking about, have you surrendered every facet of your life? Have you surrendered all that you are and all that you have at His disposal? I don't have it up there, but Paul said, everything else is garbage compared to knowing the surpassing greatness of Christ. Everything else is garbage compared to Him. I think Jim Cimbala got taught that lesson the hard way one more time through his story. God teaches me that over and over and over. And you know how He teaches me that? Well, a lot of ways. But one way is this. Go to the mall. See all those beautiful things in there. Especially if I'm walking through Bass Pro and I see an Arctic Cat four-wheeler. I'm thinking, man, could I have some fun with that? God quickly reminds me, unless I'm in it, you don't need to be in it. Unless my hand is upon it, unless my grace is on it, that it'll never fulfill you. I've thought about that, but Kathy, I talked to Kathy. We agreed not to. What I want you, we agree. Oh, Satan is talking sometimes. But anyway, what I want you to see today is this, guys. Is God's grace is freely given in all of our lives. We know that. But we have to die to ourselves and surrender our lives totally to Him. Or all we're doing is doing the same thing over and over and expecting change, and it's not ever going to happen. And the thing is the change from the inside out. Whatever's in our life that's more important than Him, whatever it is, a relationship, a material thing, a worry, then all we're saying is God's grace can't take care of that. And that's a lie. Because God's grace can take care of it. A powerful testimony is to walk in the grace of God. My final true story. I tell y'all true stories. Not those other made-up things. There was a Boy Scout. No, I'm just kidding. I talked to somebody this week. And they told me the most remarkable story that I've heard in a long time. This person had gone to witness to another person. But they knew it was going to be a difficult time witnessing to this person. They really weren't sure where this other person stood with Christ. They really weren't sure how the conversation was going. All of us have probably been there. You want to talk to somebody, but you know they may not listen, or they may not like what you have to say, or they may have so many questions you're thinking, can I answer them all? You're worried about the conflict. Well, they go to talk to this person. And God's grace had gone before them and was upon them. Because this is what the person telling me the story said. When I went to talk to this individual, I was concerned and worried what it would be like. But let me tell you the story they told me, Dang. The person they went to witness to said, hey, you're not going to believe what's happened. This student I had when I was teaching was a tremendous troublemaker, always causing me problems. Since graduated, got married, has kids, gone on to live his own life. The other day I got this letter from him. And this is what the letter said from him. This troublemaker in my class said, I want you to know that I'm not the same person I was, that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that I have a family and kids. And what I did in your class was wrong. Taking ownership. And that I would like to meet with you so I could share with you who I am now. That's God's grace. I mean, that's the real deal. That's the tangible, put skin on Jesus kind of stuff. To tell the person, I'm not who I was before I met Christ. But now I want you to see who I am after I've met Christ, what He's done in my life. That individual is willing to surrender themselves to Jesus, surrender to be used by Him. And I don't know the individual that wrote the letter, but speaking from my perspective, that couldn't have been an easy letter to write. Because he had to come into agreement that it was sin the way that he had treated that person. That's God's grace. That's not cheapening it. So I'm going to ask you today, what has to happen in your life for you to surrender and let God's grace manifest itself. Not be something that we sing some song about. And I love that song, Amazing Grace, because it is amazing. Not something we just say because it's something that Christians are supposed to say, but what does it take to be real in your life? I mean real. Where people can say, I don't want your money, I want your Jesus. I want what's inside of you. I've got to have it. Because you know what David told Jim Cimbala was this. If I don't get your Jesus, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. If people don't get our Jesus, they're going to die. That's real. That's as real as it gets. Very real. So today as we come to our ministry time, I would ask you a question. We call this up here a little altar, a carpeted area. It can be wherever you're sitting to. What is it you need to put up on the altar today and say, God, kill this. because I want to be walking in your unmerited favor for your glory and your honor. You might be dealing with a burden or a problem. That might be it. What is it today that you need to put up on the altar and say, God, take it. I don't want to live with this anymore. Palms out. God, I surrender to you today. Our life group leaders will be around. Rick and Regina will be over here. Kathy and I will be up here. If you need somebody to pray with you about these matters, that's fine. We want you to come pray. We want you to be at the altar. We want you to respond to what God's doing in your life. There is no time like the present. God's Spirit is here working for a reason, because now is the time. You might get to it later, but you may not either. God's Spirit working now. So I'm going to pray for us. It's your chance to come into agreement with whatever God's doing in your life today. You can put things on your cards. We want to hear what's on your heart through those cards too, so we can be praying over those during the week. But I want you to see that it's a time of meeting with God. And not what you can get from Him, but what can you give to Him. And I'm not talking about material money right now. I'm talking about what of you do you need to give to Him today. So let's pray and respond accordingly. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do today. God, help us to take our hands off of it. God, help us to be honest with you. God, help us to not respond in any kind of fear or worry today. God, thank you for your grace. It is magnificent. Father, this time is for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Heart It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Been there 10,000 years. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. To the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. But it's all about you. 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 It's all about you, Jesus.
I pray God's blessing on you today as you go from here. You are the salt and the light. I am the salt and the light. And we can point people to the way, the truth, and the life, can't we? Well, I pray God's blessing on you. We're through singing now.